Hello, my friends. Danny Bittor here. Thank you for taking the time for listening to another short session. Today's episode about who really is involved, what parties are involved in a real estate transaction, is actually better if you watch it on YouTube. There are only two slides, but they really illustrate the whole point of this episode. I think that if you listen, you will be able to follow and understand. So I wouldn't say it's a must watch on YouTube, but definitely something you want to explore or think about because of the benefits of the YouTube. Thank you for watching or listening. Enjoy the episode. And one more thing. We're holding a webinar on Thursday, May 18th, 2023, of course, from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be, the topic is from data to decisions, analyzing real estate trends for better investing. This is a webinar I'm doing with my friend and best author, Robert Chaman. Robert has written many books. And many of them, at least three or four, I believe, have been on New York Times best-selling books. He's a super nice guy and someone who wants to or loves to share his knowledge and connect people. Always a pleasure to have him. Very experienced real estate investor. Has been doing this for many, many years. Just a fun guy to talk to. And I'm very pleased that he is willing and finding time to come and talk to us. So again, Thursday, May 18th, 2023, it's a webinar and from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. ish Pacific time, you can find the link to register for free at the notes of this episode. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me for a quick session where I want to better explain who are the parties involved in a real estate transaction. There are many, actually, parties involved. Each has a specific role or for a specific period of time. So we're going to do it in two kind of phases. Number one, I'm going to just talk about who the parties are and who's controlling who, depending on who. Or communicating. And number two, I'm going to try and emphasize each one of the parties involved, which when they are more present in the transaction. Obviously, I'm talking about long-term rentals, and I'm talking about traditional purchase. I'm going to assume there's a lender involved. If there's no lender, anything related to the lender is out of the picture, which is makes it easier. And obviously, this is not going to be every specific situation, but it gives a lot of the understanding of which parties or who are the parties that are involved. So let's get to know them a little bit better. Okay, first party and the most important one is you, the buyer. So obviously, we're going to put you right there in the middle. And then we always like to include or factor that we are, as the advisor, someone who supports kind of you and everything that's going on are also. So advisor, in this case, it more referred to us, Simply Do It, or someone along those lines of advising you on a transaction. Then we have the realtor, the local person that helps find the property and put the contract together and provide answers, etc. I know you're most likely familiar with it. The realtor, or through the realtor, we're going to communicate through three other parties. Title, escrow, and inspector. Inspector, when we go on a contract, we'll go and inspect the property and provide an inspection report. Title is the party responsible primarily to make sure you are buying the property without any liens. So it's clear from all liens. So you're buying it without any issues, let's call it, the title issues.
And also it's the party that will record the property in the county under your name and will probably record it with a mortgage if you're buying with a mortgage, etc. So title is kind of more responsible on making sure we are getting clean title and recorded to your name in public records. And they typically provide what's called title insurance, which means that if they miss something on the title, they are responsible to take care of it. So title are taking care of the recording of the property to your name and making sure it's clean from any issues. Escrow. Escrow and title, usually I like to refer to them like the two sisters. They almost always sit one next to each other, almost always the same company and two arms of that same company. It's different services, but they go along hand in hand. Escrow is the one party that puts everything together in a transaction and make sure that we have all the documents in place. You know, they normally have to get title documents from title and documents from lender and documents from warranty deed and or deed and different aspects of the transaction or the documentation of the transaction, like the purchase agreement. They produce a temporary account where all the funds are going to go at closing to that account and all the funds are going to go to the appropriate parties involved, obviously seller and maybe a previous lender or the seller's lender. So they are the one who's putting all the deals together in terms of the details, the documents, coordinating the signature and signing and notarization normally, etc. So we have title and escrow. They're very much hand in hand. An inspector who's separate from those two. I'm putting them behind the realtor because almost always the realtor is the one who's primarily coordinating and working with those parties. Of course, you will have to interact with them as well, but it's mostly done through the realtor or with the realtor involved. Then we have the lender. The lender is the one who provides the mortgage. Now, the lender can be very tricky because they provide you with the mortgage, but behind the scene, they work with an underwriter, someone who evaluates the risk of the deal, evaluates the risk of the borrower, and actually makes sure everything is done according to the regulation and maybe some guidelines by the funding institution. So there are multiple other parties the lender or the underwriter is going to, but the lender is primarily the person who is communicating with you, maybe communicating with title and escrow and realtor. So he's the face of the mortgage, but behind the scene, he needs to interact with an underwriter who keeps requesting for more documents and needs to interact with an appraisal. Appraisal is a third party kind of entity or person who goes and inspect the value of the property, right? So the lender is kind of coordinating all of that. As a buyer, you will not have access to the underwriter. You will not have access to the appraisal. Property manager is someone that normally mainly kicks in and gets involved once we close on the property. However, many times in our world of real estate, the Simply Do It ecosystem, we ask the property manager to get involved sooner rather than later. So they provide us more in-depth or more information they can find about the property. Behind the scene, again, they probably have professional providers such as roofer, plumber, etc., that we may tap into during the transaction and have them come to the property and inspect the roof or come to the property and inspect some maybe foundation problem or some plumbing problem. But if we don't have that person comes into the professional provider to the property during the transaction, during what's called the escrow, then we will probably only meet them down the line when there's issues or problem with the properties. And normally it will be coordinated through the property manager. Again, very likely we're not going to interact with that person directly, but through the property manager. Who else do we have in a transaction? So we're going to have an insurance company or insurance agent, a legal person, and a taxation. I'm going to focus on the insurance for the moment. When we get a property, when we buy a property, we have to get insurance. If we're using a mortgage, the lender will not let us sign or close without an active ready insurance, which we are going to be an insurance agent going to help us do that. If we're buying cash, we don't have to get an insurance, but of course we want to have insurance in place. So insurance is more active out of those two. In the background, legal and taxation, something that we most likely, legal-wise, not see unless there's a problem. So many states in the U.S. do not require by law that an attorney supervises the transaction. So some states, like many other countries around the world, you may have an attorney supervising the transaction. For example, Illinois, Georgia, Louisiana are the ones that I can remember right now that do have an attorney supervise the transaction. Many other states, there is no actual attorney involved in the transaction unless necessary. What does it mean necessary? Necessary is if you're a buyer or a seller wants to review or have an attorney review the purchase document, you can send it to the attorney. That's okay. That's going to be something you're going to take on here directly, or we may be able to point you out to one. Or if there's some misunderstanding or some confusion or some argument, on occasion, we may talk to an attorney and have a specific situation being resolved or advised by legal. So normally, or in many, many transactions, the attorneys do not live within the transaction unless we invite them into the transaction. Just be aware, that's common practice in many, many, many states in the US. Again, you always have the right to turn into an attorney. Other than that, taxation or taxes or tax expert or CPA, someone that very likely you're only going to meet after your property is already operational, when you're ready to do your taxes, or you may tap into that resource before you get started altogether to get some financial advice or taxation advice. So those are the parties. I want to now kind of not shuffle, but show you how they are more presented into the deal, or where do they get involved more into the deal. So I divided every transaction just on a general to the searching phase, the transaction or the escrow, I should have called it, closing and post-closing, right? So those are the four main stages. So realtor, normally he's going to be with us during searching, transacting, and going all the way to closing. Many times, if needed, a realtor will be involved in the transition to the post-closing, but technically that's normally when they kind of finish their, officially finish the work. Title gets involved when we have a transaction and at closing. So we don't do anything with title before or after. Their job normally ends at closing or after closing, when they send the information, the documentation to the county to record the records of the new ownership. Escrow is normally very much involved in closing. Remember, all those parties that I'm mentioning here, they're not involved in other section or other stages. They're just more, that's their mostly present time during the transaction is during closing. Yes, you will hear from escrow during the transaction, but mostly they are during the closing, which is typically a day or a specific one day. Inspector is obviously during the transaction. That's when he goes to the property. I should say during the transaction, even mainly during the due diligence phase. A lender, we're going to be involved in the transaction and closing, and kind of fades away after closing. Underwriter, that's the person we talked about a minute ago that the lender works with. They're going to be very much involved during the transacting. Appraisal, same thing. Property management during the transaction a little bit, maybe because we want to tap into them. And next time is post-closing. Obviously, property management kicks in after we close and own the property. A supervisor, someone like myself, as you can see, we are involved in all those stages and helping make sure, you know, kind of to smooth line the entire process throughout all those stages. Insurance is someone that we will need during the transacting. It has to be ready for closing, so there's no really anything to do with them over there. And hopefully we won't need to deal with them post-closing. We may have an insurance claim, and that will kick in, of course, after the closing. Professional provider, normally like a roofer or a foundation or a plumber, we may need to call them during the inspection phase or after the inspection to check up on a few things. So that may be something we will interact with them, but most likely the first time we will deal with them would be after we close on the property. Same thing with legal. We may need the major transaction. Many times we don't. And if anything happened post-closing, we can do that. Most times we just don't hear or don't talk to legal, but things are just running smoothly in a real estate fashion. There are always hiccups and delays, etc., but not necessarily things that will require an attorney involved. It could happen, of course. And taxation, something that will be involved or get involved during the post-closing or when you get it, when you're ready to do your taxes. So those are the functions. Those are all the main ones. There may be some others. There's something that came into my mind that I've neglected to mention. But those are very little or insignificant. But look at how many of those parties. Like 13, I believe there's 12 or 13 different parties involved in a transaction, taking different level of involvement. So thank you for taking the time for this short video to really understand who are the parties that are involved in a transaction. Thank you. Bye-bye.